Marketing for Smart People Radio. Weekly tips for building and marketing your profitable business online. From copyblogger.com. Hi, Sonia.
Hey, Robert. How are you doing?
I'm good. I hear you are suffering in minus 50 degree temperatures over there in Sparkletown today.
Sparkletown is not so sparkly today. It's not the Sparkletown I know and love. Yeah, it's 3 above today, so I'm excited because yesterday the low was 20 below. So.
Oh, that's a plus. That's a plus. Are the snow plows out, or are you just staying in and calling it good?
I'm refusing to leave the house, although the roads are fine. It's just freaking cold.
Yeah, right.
So the roads are okay, but...
Well, I don't want to brag, but I'm looking at 45 degrees and sun over here in the Portland area.
Oh, well,
not to be
nice.
Mean, and I should probably keep my mouth shut about that because that's the big secret about Portland and the surrounding areas. Everybody thinks it rains, and yes, it does. It rains all the time.
No more people move here.
That's right. Stay where you are. Well, all right. Hello, everybody. Thanks for checking in with the show today. I am Robert Bruce, and I have for you the unstoppable, unflappable, undeniable Chief Marketing Officer of Copyblogger Media, Sonia Simone. We've got all kinds of specific tips and strategies available over on Copyblogger related to our topic today, but I wanted to get Sonia here and talk specifically about the bigger picture ideas around conversion. And we're not talking about the religious kind of conversion, but conversion that turns a passerby on your site or a potential customer into a regular reader and or buyer. So, Sonia, what are we really talking about when we use the word conversion, and why does it matter enough to really to think seriously about it and act on it?
Yeah, I think it's interesting to me because a lot of people who are very smart about social media are not that smart about conversion. And all conversion is getting an action that you're looking for, getting people to do something you want them to do. Seth Godin actually understands this better than a lot of people in social media. Conversion's not necessarily about selling where you deliver a product and they give you money. Sometimes it's about, you know, converting readers into subscribers or converting blog subscribers into email list subscribers or used to be getting people to dig your content. Now it's getting people to tweet your content. Who knows what it's going to be next year. But it's getting people to take some kind of action that you want them to take. And the reason we care about it is because not caring about it leads to something that I see that just makes me really sad, and I see it all over the place, which is very talented people who are just flat broke. So we're always telling people, you know, create better content, don't create junk. The first rule of Copyblogger, don't publish crappy content. And so you can get a lot of attention for having really high quality stuff, but I hear from people all the time who say, I've got the traffic, I've got the attention, I've got the links, but I've got the SEO, but I don't have a business. You know, I can't get anybody to buy my service, or I can't get any clients, or, you know, I launched my ebook and two people bought it, and one of them was my mom, and the other one was me, you know, so... So that's the answer to that, because it's incredibly frustrating, and people will often tend to kind of be in one camp or another. Either you're in the camp for whom creating quality content is really hard, and we talk a lot about that, and we talk a lot about partnering, and we talk a lot about making yourself better as a writer. And then the other camp is, yeah, they can write beautiful stuff, terrific stuff, but they're not converting that into the result they want to see, which is usually some kind of purchase.
Yeah, and what does it look like for somebody who's making really great stuff but not making that connection? What could that look like for somebody who's doing that but not seeing the results? Seeing people sign up to the email list, seeing people buy the ebook or product that they're selling.
Well,
or what is the missed connection, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, we have someone in Third Tribe who's working on this right now, and she's re-engineering some things to get a better result. Because she's got great subscriber numbers to her email list. She's done it all right. She's given them lots of high quality content. Everybody values her. But when she has an offer of a particular product that this is an event, she has an event that she's trying to fill up, she's just not getting the seats. Nobody's, you know, she's got thousands and thousands of people and no sales. And I see that not infrequently. And so you basically, you kind of have to go down a conversion checklist or a, you know, some kind of a matrix to figure out what it is that's not working. Because I kind of, it's a little bit like your car. Like if one stupid little piece isn't working right, the whole thing won't go, you know? So sometimes it's the smallest tweak, you know, you just, I don't, you know, I mean, sometimes it literally is you put the wrong word on your shopping cart button or you have a crap headline. The smallest thing can stop the car from moving forward. And so you've got to have everything kind of working together. So you want to look at some different elements of conversion. And we'll talk about some of those today. Then we'll point you toward kind of a more complete resource that can really, so you really can go down the list and say, am I doing this? Oops, that's where my issue is.
All right. So this example, thousands and thousands of, I'm assuming readers, whether they're, you know, on the website, this person's website or on an email list, but it's not converting. You talk a lot about talking to the right person, how we could have, you know, the biggest, I don't know how necessarily this might come about, but the biggest email list in the world, the biggest website traffic wise in the world, but you might be talking to the wrong people, and you've got to talk to the right people.
I think you have to start. I mean, you really you have to start by understanding who a buyer, what buyer looks like for you. Sometimes people will amass really huge audiences. For example, humor sites can get these huge audiences and people love the stuff and they're tweeting it around left and right and Facebooking it and all the rest of it, but they don't make any money because the person's not there in a buying context. That person's not a buyer when they're on that site. And an example of that would be Johnny B. Truant. When he was trying to sell his humor book, he never made any sales because he wasn't talking to people who were in the market for a humor book. He was talking to people who were in the market for a free laugh on their coffee break when they were goofing off at work. When he took that same like humorous voice and writing style and ability to make people laugh, and he paired it with something people want to buy, which is building websites and business education, then he became really like amazingly rapidly really successful. Because then he was talking to buyers. So one of the biggest ones is you're not talking to buyers. You're talking to, and social media is full of people who are just there to, you know, have a good time and relax and have and be entertained. And that's delightful. But if you're trying to make a living and you have a bunch of essentially freeloaders who either want a free tool, and if you ask them to pay a dollar a year, they call you a, you know, whatever they call you. I mean, they call you a thief and a, you know, you're betraying the whatever
Sell
you're betraying.
Out.
Like, you know, Chargeify just went, it was an interesting article on Inc. about the business Chargeify, and they had a freemium model. Well, guess what? Nobody ever upgraded to the paid model and they weren't making any money. So they were like, well, we're discontinuing the free. And they were just, you know, abused for how could you do this to me? And it's like, well, how do I owe you anything? You've been using my tool for free. So that, you see that a lot. People who get so wrapped up in the free model that they forget to ever ask for a sale. So in that case, your person's not a buyer because your person's somebody who likes free stuff and doesn't buy as a matter of principle. You know, the music industry faces this. Some people just don't buy music, period. They just don't.
How would you go about then kind of separating the wheat from the chaff, so to speak? How do you go about making it clear what you're doing? I mean, I guess it's clarity of, you know, what you have to sell, but to get really to get to those right people, to get to those buyers then.
I think there's probably, for most people, two steps. The first is you have to know what a buyer looks like for you. So if you already have some customers, you know, you've already made a few sales at least, look at who those people are. Look at what they bought, how they bought it, what they're using it for, what problem they're using your product to solve. Understand who your buyer is. And then the other side of that is ask for the sale early. Mostly we, you know, in social media is a recurring communication medium. So if we're on a blog, and I consider email marketing to be social media. It's you're using technology to create interaction and conversation. So in your email list, wherever it might be, particularly your email list, because that's very often where you're going to do the selling part of your business, ask for a sale early, even if it's small, and make sure you're not training people that you're the free guy. Like Chargeify trained their customers that they were the free guys. And then when they changed the rules, their customers felt betrayed. Some of those people might have been very much willing to spend the money, but Chargeify waited too long to ask. And so they kind of changed the rules of the game. So if the rules of your game are, I have products and services that I want to sell, whether it's affiliate or you are a consultant or you have an ebook or whatever it is, get it out there up front so people are not surprised, and then keep it in front of people. Keep an offer in front of people. Ask for a sale often enough that it doesn't give people whiplash when you finally get around to it.
You mentioned earlier, too, the importance of the product, and this is a really contentious one among various groups. The idea of selling something that people actually want versus what I want to sell you or sell to a group. Mm-hmm. What are the basics of that? I mean, finding a product that people want, what are some ways that we can go about finding that product that people actually care about?
The best thing you can do is observe. So watch what other people are buying. You don't want to be in a space that has zero competition, because very often a space, sometimes it's a space, it's really new. Okay, so nobody's doing this particular business model around tablet computing because the iPad is still pretty new. But usually if you have no competitors, it means that a bunch of people have tried it and failed. They just can't find the angle that convinces people to buy. So the first thing you want to do is look at what people are already finding useful in some sense. Now, your thing is going to be different in some way, and it might be different in a significant way, but what are people already paying for? What are people willing to pay for? And then the other thing is to listen in on conversations, which is where social media is an awesome tool. And just look at the kind of questions people ask and the kind of things that people complain about in social media, in your blog comments, on Twitter, Facebook, forums, anywhere where people are getting together, they're going to start complaining about stuff and complaining about problems that they have. And so listen to those. Anytime you have an FAQ, in fact, one of my favorite tools for really any business is to hold regular Q&A sessions. And one of the reasons is you get the most awesome product ideas from these things, because you get people who ask a question and you think, well, that's actually really, really easy. You know, that's like got a really easy solution, but it's bugging them. They don't know how to find it. They're not finding it. For whatever reason, they don't have a solution in front of them. And you look for those problems that people are not able to solve. And again, it's not the problem you're not able to solve, because you're an expert. You're an expert in what you do. The problems you're not able to solve are totally different from a problem of customer.
But there's also, if you don't mind, we drill down a little bit into some of the specifics of this. And one of the basics of that is features versus benefits. We tend to write up on a sales page or in an email or wherever we're, you know, making this conversion, we tend to write or want to write about the features of our product or service. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, I mean, and everybody does it. I mean, you see ads put out by, you know, billion-dollar ad agencies that do this. The problem is when you know your product really well, in your mind, you mentally always translate it. So you say, well, you know, we have the XR469. And so you know that that means that it's twice as fast and uses half as much fuel and only emits unicorn breath. I mean, like, you know that. but your customer doesn't know that. So they're like, I don't give a shit, you know?
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't care about that. That's just numbers to me. It's just white noise. So the easy way, the just cheap and sleazy way, is every time you find yourself describing some feature of your product, something your product does, you know, that's cool, you say to yourself, you either literally write these words or you just mentally say them, which means that the Studio Press Genesis theme has, you know, ultra optimized code and it's all very clean code behind the hood. Well, what does that mean? It means that the search engines are not going to be impeded from seeing your content by a lot of crap code. So, you know, and that means that you're going to get more of the kind of traffic you're trying to get. So he was translating it. What does it mean for the person who's getting it? And it's a simple thing. It's something that every marketing book, it's page one of every marketing book, but it's also, it's very easy to miss in your own stuff. And you think you've done it and then you haven't done it. So sometimes it's useful to get a marketing savvy friend, you know, go to a site like the Third Tribe, if you're in the Third Tribe forum, and get your copy in front of some other eyes and say, have I translated the features into benefits, or is this still about me, not about what it's doing for the customer?
Yeah, that's cool. I've heard you describe this as what's the big idea about it? What are you really selling?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is an old copywriter's trick, and you see it all the time in like television advertising. You know, I mean, you're not really selling fewer cavities. You're really selling getting the attention of the hot guy with your beautiful white smile. You know, you're really selling, you know, and this is very interesting. A woman named Sharon Livingston, who's a very interesting marketer. She's a market researcher and a therapist. And she says that all benefits eventually get back to, I feel better about myself. That every benefit feels, it goes back to, if you say, well, why do you want sparkly teeth? You know, well, you know, so I can feel more confident, you know, or I can be more attractive. But why do you want to be more attractive? Well, so I can attract the attention of that person I've had my eye on. Well, what do you want to attract the attention of that person? Well, I want to make a connection. Why do you want to make a connection? I'll feel better about myself. Eventually, they all come back to even very altruistic things like I'm going to feed the homeless or take care of my kid. At the end of the day, you do that because it makes you feel good. At the end of the day, what you're really selling is usually something like connection, security, big ideas, safety, you know, just the feeling of like well-being.
Yep. This can be tricky too, because if we take a cue from classic brand advertising, which is what most of us are familiar with on television and radio, it's something that we think we want. I think I hear a lot of small business owners talk about kind of the desire to create something like that for their local small business, but really quickly it comes to they come to realize that they don't have the budget, right? So we're working with something different here, and it's not that original and creative language is wrong, but in terms of this more conversion, as it's related to the web, as it's related to direct response, even why is it that original or quote unquote original or creative language can be a stumbling block?
I think it comes down to, because it's not the language of your customer. You know, it's language that you're using for expression and, you know, language, imagery, whatever it might be. And a lot of what's most expressive and most interesting artistically is not very clear. That's what's interesting about it, you know. So if I see a painting and it's kind of ambiguous and it sort of makes me a little uncomfortable, that can be kind of cool. But if I see a sales letter that is ambiguous and I don't totally understand it and it makes me uncomfortable, it makes me really not, you know, I fundamentally stop in my tracks and I say, well, that's interesting, but I'm not buying anything until I get this sorted out. Selling communication has to be extremely clear, and it has to get people out of anxiety and into a feeling of relaxation. And so a lot of, you know, like I dig creativity, I dig originality, and if your audience is there with you, it works. So the Johnny B. Truant example, you know, Johnny's kind of wacko and he has interesting, you know, he just has like interesting analogies and he's got a very distinct personality. Well, that's the customer he's trying to attract. And so they all speak the same language and everybody's comfortable and everybody says, oh, okay, we're in our, I was telling somebody on the Third Tribe the other day, it's like the chess club, you know, it's like you've got to make your own chess club. So maybe your club is a very small subset of all of the people in your high school, and it excludes all the popular people and it excludes all the, that's fine.
Yep.
Because all you need is your little tribe who are like you. So creativity and originality, if it resonates with your customers is right on and awesome. If it confuses your customers, which it often can, or if people get too clever, even if your regular content is, you know, kind of clever or arty or has puns or wordplay, I would always advise people, when you get to the selling part, simplify it. Make it simple. Make it straightforward. There's nothing dumb or you know, unoriginal about just speaking directly and saying what you mean. Because when you start to get too sideways with sales copy, people get uncomfortable and nervous. And that's really when you want to be very direct and simple and use clear language instead of clever language.
Okay, that's great, because it leads into the final question I have for you, which is, you've often said, don't write to a crowd. What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is a lot of people write their content, you know, their blog content, whatever it is, and also their sales materials, like they're standing on a balcony, like they're the Pope, you know, and talking to a crowd of 100,000 people, my children, you know, and giving their blessing. And if you are the Pope, then that'll work pretty well. But if you're not the Pope, I would advise against it. It tends not to convert well. What you want to do is you want to take what we were talking about before, your ideal customer. Please do not forget that your ideal customer has enough money to pay you. I don't know why people forget this all the time. And instead of having some kind of collection of demographic traits, like, you know, a 34 to 46 year old female with, you know, X number of kids who subscribes to House and Garden and, you know, Make Magazine, I don't know. You want to have a person you can visualize, a person with a name, a person with hair color, a person with all kinds of details, actually novelist kind of details that are not relevant to your product. And the reason is because you want to really imagine that person when you write your copy. So you want to be sitting down across the table over a beer, over a coffee with your avatar, which is that's the jargon that they use in advertising, you know, with Karen. You know, who's this imaginary person you made up, or it could be a real customer you have who's like, I want more Karens, you know, Karen rocks. I love doing business with her and I want more customers like her. And you imagine Karen sitting across the table from you. And when you write copy, all you're doing is explaining stuff to Karen. You're just explaining stuff to her, and you're going to use her language. You're going to use the right tone. You're going to relax. You're going to stop being on the papal balcony and you're going to relax, and that's going to make you more trustworthy. People are going to feel, and the funniest thing about this is, if Karen is a 47-year-old white woman, it's really weird, but like Jesus, who's a 19-year-old Brazilian dude, is going to see your copy and he's going to totally get it. He's going to feel that you're talking one-to-one, and he's going to feel like you're really talking to him, even though you had a different person that you were visualizing, because that one-to-one voice comes through, even if you're not, you know, even if that person doesn't look anything like your avatar, you still want to create that intimacy and that connection by writing for one person instead of writing for the crowd. It's that's a trick I found in an old copywriting book, and it just works. It works so well, and works particularly well with email, because email is a one-to-one medium. That's what email was meant for. And that's the tone people want to see in their email, and that relaxes them, and it just makes them feel like people can tell that you give a damn. And when you're writing for an avatar, your caring comes across better.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to BS Karen sitting right across from the table from you. Well, hey,
that's right. Karen's smart.
Let's wrap this up, because I know you've got a lot of snow shoveling to do today and probably tomorrow,
thanks.
I'm guessing.
I appreciate your concern there.
I really care. There's no BS there.
I can tell your caring is just reaching through the line.
Uh-huh. Well, we here at Copyblogger Media have an evil little plan for folks out there that are interested in this idea of conversion and the action to be taken on conversion. And if you aren't interested in it, obviously, we're saying get interested in it. It is of utmost importance to your business, to your ideas, whatever it is that you're trying to do. And if you want to jumpstart in that, we are putting the finishing touches on a powerful little piece of software called Premise. I don't have a specific date when that's coming out, but it is imminent. If you like these ideas, if you like what we're talking about, these are all covered, this and more, in our Internet Marketing for Smart People course. It's a free course, 20 parts, with lots of good extras that come along with that. So for news and sign up, news about Premise, but also for our Internet Marketing for Smart People course, just jump over to copyblogger.com. You can actually click the Premise banner that is in the sidebar there and sign up. It'll take care of everything in one shot for you. Sonia, anything else you want to add on that?
Think about this stuff. Think about conversion. Use the tools that you have available. And the newsletter is a free tool. You might as well use it. Get the benefit from it. We tried to put as much good stuff in there as possible so that you guys would think we were adorable geniuses and you would buy lots of our stuff. So,
yeah. And I've got sun blazing through my window right now, so I need to get outside in my Adirondack and finish about four posts that I owe you. So, Sonia, thanks seriously for being here today. As always, it is fantastic to talk to you, and let's do it again soon, huh?
Absolutely. I had fun. Thank you.
Internet Marketing for Smart People Radio. Weekly tips for building and marketing your profitable business online. From copyblogger.com.